Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are in our series on living for eternity, and this morning session is a strange title, and it's so true. This is if it weren't in the Bible, you'd call this strange fire. The Bible says that when we enter into the resurrection, see, this whole series is about living for eternity. The Bible says that when we enter into the resurrection, we will become like the angels. That is a very interesting idea. And so that's what we're going to look at here. But before we do, let's just a little point of review, one Bible verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:54. This is a verse that we've been looking at a little off and on, but when we started studying what the resurrection is in our last session, we really kind of went heavy in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, which if you need one chapter to camp out in to understand what the world is a resurrected body, you want 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But here it is. When the perishable, that's our current body, has been clothed with the imperishable, because that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. We're going to get resurrected bodies. And the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And forever moving forward, our bodies will no longer operate in the frailty, in the fading, in the fainting, in the just degradation over time, in the lack, losing of strength. Forever will be like a permanently charged battery. And we will operate where it says death has been swallowed up in the victory of the resurrection. We will operate in a very different state. And so today, we're going to look at one of the aspects of that that is just, if it's a new idea to you, you're like, I have to look at those verses and really make sure I get this. Let me just encourage you. Don't believe anything that isn't in the Bible, but believe everything that's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible and it's weird to you, you're the problem, not the Bible. The Bible is steadfast, is stable, is trustworthy. But there are many things in the Bible that, honestly, we're just so unfamiliar with that when we hear them, they sound shocking and like, I don't know what I like about that. Doesn't matter what you think. The Bible is right. So let's go with what the Word of God says. So believe what the Word says and don't believe stuff that the Bible does say. It's real easy. Okay, well, let's look at it. Our new bodies will be like the angels. The heck does that even mean? Look at this, Matthew 22:30. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Again, in Mark 12:25, says similarly, they will be like the angels in heaven. Luke 20, verse 35, they will be like the angels. I just want us to make sure that we see that line over and over that made it into the three synoptic gospels, that the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure, as strange of a statement as that is, the Holy Spirit wanted it highlighted that when we enter into the resurrection, there are going to be some things about us that are going to be like the angels. Now, there's plenty of other places that talk about what our resurrected bodies are like, and when you start to do a side-by-side comparison, which isn't what we're going to do today, but when you do a side-by-side comparison of, oh, they're glorious. They can't be destroyed. They're bright. You start looking at all of you're like, oh my gosh, it's just like the angels. In many, many ways, our bodies are going to be like the angels. Well, let's look here and look at a few different things that the angels were able to do. Part of the reason that I want us to see this, we're doing this series on longing for eternity. And one of the reasons that we get stopped in our walk with God related to longing for eternity, thinking on things above and not on earthly things. You guys know that verse. We've looked at it a couple of times. One of the reasons that we get stopped and stuck and held up is we have absolutely no idea what is going on above. So think on things above and not on earthly things, like clouds. I think there's a throne room, something about living creatures with eyes in their armpits. I don't know, something. And then we're done, and that's all we know. And so therefore, when Paul's like, think on things above, don't give your thoughts mostly to what's happening on planet Earth. Have your mind stuck up in the clouds. We run out of things to think about because we're not familiar enough with what is going on above. This is a glorious subject that I want to remind you You're going to have your earthly frame in its current state for a minute. 1 year, 80 years, 100 years, however long you got, it's a minute. You're going to have a glorified body for billions of years. So which one's the real you? Which one's really the one that is the most you? Which one's the experientially in a billion years will you mostly be thinking about that minute that you were in a non-resurrected body? Or will you mostly be thinking about the last billion years where you were in a resurrected body? See, these are the kinds of ideas we want to fill our minds with because it will actually empower you to live differently if you believe this. See, when we came to Christ, we died to this life and to this body and to this age and to this culture and to the ways of this world. And we entered into a new realm that is infinitely better. But if we're unfamiliar with it, it doesn't touch our soul. The Word of God is filled with information that is supposed to touch our soul in order to motivate us to think different, live different, talk different. So this idea, while it might be strange to you, I want us to dive into it because there is full permission to give ourselves to what the Word of God divulges. And we want to look at it. So, one point that's just an interesting thing. If we're going to be like the angels, angels can appear out of nowhere. Did you know that? You probably did. Luke 24, 4 through 5. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. It's angels. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. All of a sudden, these two angels, boom, just appear. That's pretty crazy. What if your resurrected body can just appear? Because it says we're going to be like the angels. There's going to be capacities about our body that are very different than the capacities that we have now and the limitations that we live in now. What else? Angels can cloak or reveal their glory. They can either be bright, shiny, or they can actually dull it and appear to just be human. Luke 2, 8 through 9. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So there's where an angel appears, and there's this brightness. But then it says, in a passage in Judges 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to her, and the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. So not an angel. But it was an angel. But the lady saw and interacted with this angel like it was just a person or a prophet. A man of God appeared to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from. He didn't tell me his name. And the angel of God came again to the woman while she was in the field. Manoah said, are you the man who talked to my wife? I am, he said. And Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Because this whole thought process, an interaction with a person, with an angel, but it's not so bright and glorious that in this encounter, they were able to have a conversation like, didn't realize it was an angel. It was just like a dude. Just like he was a nice dude. He smiled real good. I want us to just catch this because one of the things that that we're going to look at in this session and in future sessions is when we graduate and we enter into the next age, your life isn't over. It's just getting started. And there is a lot of ministry that will yet to be done, especially in the millennial age. And that ministry includes lots of fun, varied interactions. Angels deliver God's messages. Luke 1, 26 through 28. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married, to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. This angel shows up and gives information, gives a message from the Lord, serves as a messenger. Angels minister to people. We know this verse in Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? There is a capacity right now of angels that they serve as ministers. Now, this is another one of those ideas that maybe you don't give a lot of thought to, but angels and demons are real and they didn't go anywhere. We see about them all the time in the Word of God. They didn't go anywhere. They're still here. There are moments where there are demons that are causing us problems. There are moments where there are angels actually ministering and assisting us. And maybe we're unaware many, many times. This is part of the whole spiritual realm. One of the things that I like to do and that I want for us to do is for us to start, for us to spend enough time looking at what the Word of God says that we believe it over our eyes, that we believe it over our experience. Because I think probably our experience has not caused us to care much about the activity of angels, has not caused us to think much about what are we going to be like when we graduate and go to be with the Lord? What are things going to be like when He comes back and we get a resurrected body? But the problem is, the Word actually calls us to think on that realm with great intentionality. And when we don't think on that realm, we're only left to think about this one. And so therefore, our hearts are a lot duller than they could be. Our perspective is a lot more limited than it could be. That the Holy Spirit actually wants us to dive into these things and to understand these things. The Word of God was given to us that we could study it, understand it, devour it, be transformed by it. I have yet to find a truth in the Word of God that when I meditated on it and I talked to the Lord about it, that it didn't have a measure of impact in my heart. But what we so commonly do is we just pass up the Word. It's not that important to us. And when we hear it, when we read it, or when we hear it preached, or when we look at it, we're not thinking of it as having power to transform us. But it does. It's got power to transform us. Let's keep going. Angels can strengthen people. Look at this one. This is fun. I want to do this. Daniel 10 and then Luke 22. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, an angel said. Peace, be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. It's just so interesting. We see here an angel giving strength. But you know, that's not so unprecedented. We all know what it's like to pray for somebody and watch something happen when we pray for them. Because it's not the power of the angel, it's the power of the Lord. It's not the power of you when you pray for somebody, it's the power of the Lord. But there is a partnership where the Lord allows us to partner. It's just when we reach the next age and we get a resurrected body, there's going to be additional things that we get to operate in that we've never seen before. Well, I like that we're going to be like the angels. I think that's really cool, and I don't even know what to do with that sometimes. I think about I don't even know what is, Lord, help us. Help us to understand that. But honestly, that's really the worst of the news, as crazy as that is. It actually gets infinitely better because it says not only are we going to be like angels, it says we're going to be like Jesus Christ. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15:49. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. It's talking about what happens when we receive our resurrected body. We get transformed into his likeness. This is just the most unbelievable thing. So now it makes the angel thing look like a real small side point. Because now we're being transformed into his likeness. Look what else it says. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. Now think about this. The term ever-increasing means whatever it is today, it's more tomorrow, it's more a year from now, it's more 100 years, and it's more a billion years. What is it that is increasing? The increasing is being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh. So our eternity consists of increasingly reflecting the likeness of Jesus. And it says it right in the middle of the passage. This whole concept comes from the Lord. This whole idea of being transformed into his likeness in the coming age, when we've got a resurrected body, a resurrected mind, our lives are going to be so rich and full. It is a tragedy to not think about these things. The best days of your life are in the future. The best days. They're going to be absolutely amazing things that are part of your daily reality as you are being transformed. Look at this, Philippians 3. Our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. I just stop there for a second. Don't answer. Just kind of think in your own soul. Maybe have a conversation with the Lord later. Have you this week, this month, this year, this decade eagerly awaited the second coming? Because we're supposed to be eagerly awaiting. And the difference between awaiting and eagerly awaiting is an active, hope-filled engagement, a longing, eagerly awaiting. When my kids are waiting for me to take them to some place that they want to eat or ice cream, that's one thing. When they are eagerly awaiting, oh my gosh, there is no peace in the home. An eagerly awaiting child for ice cream is, it's volcanic. It's unbelievable. It nothing else on planet Earth works right until there's ice cream in their tummy. It is an unbelievable reality when they are eagerly awaiting. And this is the language that we're given. We're to be eagerly awaiting. See, again, think on things above and not on earth below. We're not thinking much about things above because we've not given ourselves to look at the things that are above, to look at the things that are future, the things that are coming. But when we do, we're empowered in our spirit to actually live for another age. Thus, the title of the message of the series, Living for Eternity. Not just information about eternity. There's no way we could live for it unless we get the information. But we got to do more than hear information about eternity. We got to engage ourselves, engage faith. We got to ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. And if we'll do that, things start to awaken in our soul that actually cause us to live different, to have a brighter countenance, to care less about things that don't matter and more about things that do, and to tug others to come along with us to be thinking about those things that matter. I want to encourage you, deal with this verse, thinking about your citizenship primarily not as American citizens on your passport. That's a secondary citizenship. That your primary citizenship is in heaven. Remember, you will live there forever. That's where you will live forever if you've given your life to the Lord. And that we are eagerly awaiting a Savior to come back from there. Come, Savior. Come eagerly, we are awaiting. I'll just say this. If you are not eagerly awaiting a Savior from heaven, you are missing out on part of what was given to you as part of your faith. You're missing out on it. I mean, this is something that's actually been given to us as part of our Christianity, of our life in God, is to eagerly await. It awakens things within us. So I just encourage you, if that's something that you're like, I don't really do that much, I don't even know what that verse means, go on a journey to get that figured out. Because there is power when you eagerly await. So, I know that was a little side point, but sometimes I can't help myself. Eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, by the power that enabled Jesus to bring everything under his control, by the power of Jesus that's going to rule and reign in the millennial kingdom, by that power, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. He's going to use his power to give us the most incredible upgrade. And that upgrade isn't distinct from his. It's like his glorious body. And it's the power of God to do it to us. I just think, like, we talk about wanting to be like Jesus, you know, and we think about humility, or we think about kindness, or we think about wisdom. I mean, we all love the wisdom of Jesus. We read the New Testament, we see him in the Gospels saying stuff, and like, oh, I want to be like that, I want to get that. The Lord actually wants us to be like Jesus in every way. And we're going to get bodies like Jesus, and Jesus is going to go, I'm going to use all the power I've got, I'm actually going to upgrade your body to be like my body, because I know it's a better body, and I want yours to be like mine. And then, with ever-increasing reality on that, year after decade after millennium, you're going to have an increased measure of that reality in your frame. Guys, I'm just telling you, we're going to laugh at how lame and dull we were in 2022. We're just going to be like, oh my gosh, you remember 500 years ago when we were sitting in that message hearing about this stuff for the first time? It was like, what? I don't even know if I believe that. Like, we've been living it for hundreds of years. Like, we're going to look back on these dull moments and like go, we were so small in our understanding. You are going to live forever. Right now, you are in an internship called 80 years of life or 100 or 10, whatever you get. You're in an internship. And this internship, The smartest interns are the ones that pay attention to the lessons. We want to be looking at what the Word says about our future assignment, our future reality, our future life. We are going to live forever in a very different state than the current state that we're in. It makes sense. It's wisdom to focus on that. Well, if our bodies are going to be like Jesus' bodies, it stands to reason we'll be able to do stuff that Jesus did. Jesus walked through walls. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The heck did you, where did you come from? "I just walked through the wall. It's not a big deal. I can get here. I can get in and out. Whatever." He's gone. Jesus can walk through walls. That's pretty crazy. Gave you another verse there, same thing. He can also fly back and forth between heaven and earth. The body of Jesus can fly back and forth between heaven and earth. You know, eye has not seen, no mind has conceived the things that God wants to do, the things that he has for us. There are unbelievable realities that await our future. We're going to be transformed. Our body's going to be like Jesus' body. What did Jesus do in his body? After this, he said, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So he's taken up. He's here, and then all of a sudden, he's 5 feet off the ground, and he's 10 feet off the ground. People are trying to grab the dude's feet. He just keeps getting higher, and now he's in a cloud. He's like, "Bye." Now he's hidden in a cloud, and Jesus is gone. Bye-bye in a cloud. But look what it says. Men of Galilee, they said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back the same way you've seen him go." He can go, he can come. A resurrected person with a resurrected body can do resurrected things that are very different from the things that a non-resurrected body can or can't do. He could cloak his identity or be clearly recognized, similarly to what we were looking at with the angels. I gave you the verses here in John 21 and then 20 as well. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Jesus standing there with them, but for whatever reason in that particular setting, he had his identity cloaked. They could see him. They're like, "Hey, nice guy. Hi." And they didn't realize it was Jesus. Similarly, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord, but they were unaware that there was Jesus with them. And then he also can show himself to them and make it clear. Either way. One of the things that, to me, when I think about the resurrection and I start to go way off into the clouds related to our resurrected body is going to do stuff we can't even get our heads wrapped around. And we meditate on that a little bit. We think on that. We think about the gloriousness of that. And really, guys, this morning, it's an advertisement for you to go find all the other Bible verses that talk about what your resurrected body can do. Don't ever be content with an appetizer on Sunday morning. Like, don't come in here and go, "There, I got full." Please hear these ideas and go, "He's a liar. I'm going to go look it up in the Bible and then find out if I'm a liar or not." But look it up in the Bible. Don't go to the internet. Look it up in the Bible. Don't go to your friend or your spouse, because they might be just as off as you are. Go to the Bible. The Bible's never off. Go to the Word of God and go, "Lord, what else does the Bible say about this stuff?" And let the Holy Spirit then renew your spirit, wash you with the Word, and give you that clarity. When I think about the crazy things, a resurrected body, brightness and glory, and we cloak the identity and minister and go up and walk through walls and do whatever. When I think about all those things, I get excited, but I also get a little overwhelmed. And it's kind of hard for me to like touch it. It's kind of difficult for me to get my head wrapped around it because it's so unusual and so different. I cannot even imagine what it would be like to like go up. Like, woo, I've never done it. So I guess it's like a trampoline, but then what goes up must come down. It doesn't work. I can't get my head around these ideas, and part of that is it's not the season to have the fullness of that revelation, but it's good to engage our hearts so that we can start to get kind of caught up in the story. But I do find there to be a limitation to how much I can really engage with these ideas, because they're so unusual that my experience hasn't touched them. What I like equally is the normal human stuff Jesus did after he got a resurrected body. I really, really like the normal human stuff, Tuesday stuff, that Jesus did after he got a resurrected body. Not just the crazy things that he did, but the natural stuff. The reason I like that is because when I think about living forever, if I'm limited to what my experience will be, what life will be like, if I'm limited to crazy things I've never done before, crazy ideas I can barely wrap my head around, it's a little difficult to give my heart to it. But if I get to eat, it's all going to be okay. So long as I get to eat food, I'll be just fine. Well, good news. You get to eat food. I'm going to look at a couple of different things here. One of the most normal human things to do in life is to talk to friends. I love to just talk with friends. No agenda. I don't care. I'll take either. Just talking. Luke 24, 13 through 17. This is after Jesus got a resurrected body. Remember, we're going to be transformed into his likeness. We're going to get a resurrected body like his resurrected body. We're going to do stuff that Jesus did with a resurrected body. Look what it says. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came. And he walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he said, what are you guys discussing as you walk together along the way? And he talks. He's walking with them and talking. That is the most normal human thing I can imagine. Walking and talking. Two dudes that he knows, he likes them, and they're having a conversation because that's what you do when you're alive. You're not wound up praise bots that are stuck in some tactile, finite position in heaven that's just stuck there, and your hands are up constantly. You go, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and it never stops. That's not your future. Your future is life. Like right now, you have choices to make, and there are moments where we worship him, and there are moments where we talk together, and the Lord looks at even that as a source of a way that we express love to one another and love to him. Jesus, with a resurrected body, went on a walk. Some of y'all are walkers. You like to walk. Go on a walk in the neighborhood. Go on a walk on here and go on a walk on there. Some of them folks are mall walkers. Them folks are intense. You ever seen them mall walkers? They're constantly, I mean, they're in their lane. They like pass you 6 times and they're just in their power alley, their power walk. They never smile and they never say hi. I don't know. Mall walkers are just another breed. I don't get them. But anyway, here's my point. Jesus walked and talked. You'll walk and talk. You'll have relationships and conversations, and you'll walk with people. What else? Jesus taught. I'm so grateful that our resurrected reality is not just worship 24/7, and we never leave that position and never do anything. Why would you need a house if all you do 24/7 forever is stand in the great assembly worshiping? Why would you need a house? You wouldn't. You would never need it because you'd never go to it because you'd constantly be worshiping. But if you have a house, that indicates domestic activity, that there's stuff that you're going to do. Look at Jesus teaching after his suffering. He showed himself to these men, and he gave them many convincing proofs he was alive because they could not get their head around that. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus was instructing. With a resurrected body, Jesus was continuing to instruct, to give information about the kingdom of God and how life really works and operates. There are things, I can't wait for however long into eternity we get to have our first gigantic aha moment about the Bible related to how it has more to do with ages to come than it even did in this age. How much the Bible, you know, it's the Word of God. It's never going to become obsolete. Never. It's not like God's going to go, okay, we're done with that Bible. We don't need it anymore. It's the revelation of God and his heart. We're going to have layers and waves and moments in our future forever where we see Scripture jump off of this Bible Even long after we've got resurrected bodies, we go, oh my gosh, that's what he meant by that verse. We're going to have so many aha moments because there's still going to be a ministry of revelation, of growing in God, of growing in glory, of growing in understanding. But if I get brass tacks, I'm mostly excited about food. John 21, 4 through 14, early in the morning, Jesus with a resurrected body stands on the shore. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Oh, thank you for carbs. I'm so glad the carbs made it in there. Tired of keto. Okay, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Yes, Lord, I will obey you. Amen. Amen. Jesus came, he took the bread and he gave it to them as he did with the fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Look at Acts 1:4. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them. See, he's eating. Resurrected body. I want you to think about this. It's a resurrected body that in our first look, our first thought, you would go, why would a resurrected body need to eat? I don't know that it needs to, but it sure does get to. And if it does need to, he'll explain that to us later. I don't care. I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody about want, get, or need to eat. So long as I'll be eating, I do not care. Okay? I just want you to see resurrected Jesus eating. And it's a fellowship moment. He's like, come on, let's have breakfast together. It'll be great. It's going to be awesome. Like, they got Cracker Barrel in heaven? Sure, man. You think Earth invented Cracker Barrel? It was up here first. We got one chain right down the way. The whole thought process of the role of eating in the millennium, how real this makes life. Also, cooking. I hate cooking. I hate it. I hate cooking. I'm so blessed by everybody that likes to cook. I don't like it at all. But I love the reality that cooking still happens because the food doesn't just appear. The food is cooked. Think about that. Think about what that means, that there's human process. Because if there's cooking, then that cooking unto eating is just like whatever under whatever. There's a million ways that applies where there's a process in order to produce something that then can be enjoyed and participated in. There's human dynamic. There's human process in the age to come. We're going to be like Jesus. That's awesome. Jesus also cooked and ate. Cooking means time. Cooking means creativity. Cooking means patience. Cooking means skill. All these things still matter in the next age. It's not like when you die and you get a resurrected body and you're now in the next age, you're clothed in immortality, that life is over. It stinking just got started. It just got started. You're now, a resurrected Nick Laverne cooking is going to be epic. I'm coming over for dinner. I'm just saying. I'm coming over for resurrected Nick dinner. Okay, that's going to be epic because his senses, his understanding, greater clarity of ingredients and ways. Think about how upgraded this gets. I'm picking on food because, well, I could probably stand to lose a couple pounds, but I really like food, but it's such a normal part of human life that it's easy to camp out there because it's something we all have a grid work for. But it's not just the eating, it's the cooking. That the food doesn't just appear. It's not some sci-fi movie where you push the button and the thing appears. There's cooking that happens. So this means there's going to be real life. I can get my head around that. And then also, while I'm going to be doing things I'm familiar with, walking, talking, teaching, eating, watching someone else cook, while I'm familiar with all those different things, I'm also going to get to experience the supernatural realm in ways that we can't yet get our head fully around. Because it's upgraded life. Your life doesn't end, it gets super upgraded. This is our future. This is so cool. Our resurrection is going to be amazing, and it's going to be the long-term version of you. You ever had one of those moments in your life where you made a significant pivot, and it made a huge difference for you for the rest of your life? Maybe it was a moment where you had a revelation, and you never went back. It was a moment where you got free from something. You never went back. You know, a moment where, I don't know, just whatever it was. I can remember when I was in junior high. And I remember that I was the fat kid, and I didn't like being the fat kid. I made this decision. I remember it's just so weird. I remember I made the decision, if I'm going to be the fat kid, I'm going to be the funny fat kid. And I just made I flipped a switch. And I was like, I am now the funny fat kid. And I was, boom. All of a sudden I was well-liked because I was the funny fat kid instead of just the fat kid. But I made a shift. I made an upgrade moment in my life and I never went back. We are going to get an upgrade moment that is far superior than Brad's whatever, you know, seventh grade issues. There's going to be a transition that's going to occur within us, and that is going to change our reality forever. And that will be, it's still us, but it's an upgraded version forever. This is what's coming. There are many other things like this. The reason we're doing this series, and we'll end now, worship team, you can come on up. The reason we're doing this series is because I really want for us to understand details that the Word gives us readily. I mean, there's a ton of information about this, that if we'll choose to chew on it, we'll gain clarity, our spirits will become more engaged, there'll be things happening within us that were always the intent, but that we have got to be intentional about it. So I want us to look at these things again and again.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.